you have a Bible, would you hold it up? And let's say our declaration together. Come on, say it with me. Word of God. I'll choose to believe it over my circumstances. I'll choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 4 weeks ago, I started a message series called The Benefit of Relationship. I told you that in a relationship with Jesus, you have certain things and you are certain things if you call yourself this phrase, being in Christ. Now, in Christ is a, it's not a, it is the most powerful position that you can hold and own in this life, in Christ. If you say, I'm in Christ, you've achieved all you need to achieve on the earth. Powerful. And in Christ, you have certain things. The list is long, and you are certain things. Week number one, I told you that you have peace with God, that you have the peace of God as part of your life. Not just a life that's void of conflict and chaos, because that's really not the case, but you have so much more. You have boldness, and you have security, and you have his wellness, and you have his prosperity as all part of who you are as a Christian. I told you week number two that you have the rest of God, that you don't need to work at your relationship with Jesus. He did all the work so you could rest. And you could just enjoy the fruit of a relationship with God through his son Jesus. Amen? Last week I told you that you are chosen by God. Let that sink in for a minute. You know, Wendy, of the 7 billion people on the planet, God looked down and he said, Wendy, I chose you. Mike, you know, God said, I chose you. 7 billion, he said, but I chose you. Dana, he chose you too. Nancy, you know he chose you. Nancy, I know. I'm. No, you know? No. He does, but you know, he said, I'm his favorite. I'm just saying. No, I'm just kidding. He tells you different. See, I don't know. I don't know. I hear it all the time, so I'm starting to believe it. 7 billion people, but he looks at you and he says, Tyler, I chose you. I chose you. Now imagine that. Imagine that. The God of the universe, the God who said, let there be, and there was, he looked and he said, you are chosen by God. What a powerful thing that is, right? And today, we're going to talk about the fact that you are gifted by God. Now, I'm not talking about in the natural. I'm a gifted drummer, or I'm a gifted guitar player, or I'm a gifted singer. I'm talking about being gifted, spiritually gifted, for the work of the ministry. You're gifted by God. If you call yourself a Christian and you are in Christ, if you are part of that group, you have spiritual gifts. How many of you know your spiritual gifts? How many of you want to know your spiritual gifts? All right, now listen. This is a commercial. Pastor Peggy leads all of our Get Connected classes. And in Get Connected class number 3, it's called Get Empowered, we walk you through a spiritual gift analysis to help you discover your spiritual gifts. And then we're going to help you develop your spiritual gifts by plugging you into a ministry that best fits your spiritual gifting. So see Pastor Peggy right after church and get in that line. I have a question for you this morning as I begin today talking about your gifting. How many of you remember the greatest gift you ever received? Now, let's not get super spiritual this morning. Well, my greatest gift is Jesus. Well, of course he is, but I'm talking about the natural. And you go back to your Christmases as a kid. Maybe it was that Red Ryder BB gun when you were 10 years old. Or maybe it was that special 10-speed bike. When I got this 10-speed bike. It was green. It was fast. Oh, yeah, dude, it was something. Maybe you remember a piece of jewelry that you got or some special piece of clothing or some special gift. Now, I want you to think about how long that gift lasted you and then what became of that gift. So a couple of years, a couple of months, the gift lasted, it broke or it doesn't fit anymore or the tires are flat or the BBs got jammed or whatever the case may be, and it's now in the garage or in the closet somewhere gathering dust because earthly gifts are temporary,
But God's spiritual gifts are eternal, and they go on forever and ever, and they have a much greater use than we can even imagine, right? Whatever gift you were given in the natural, I promise you it will fail in comparison to the gifts God gives you. Now imagine this with me for a minute. That from now on, every gift that you receive is actually for someone else. Hey, Ryan, look, I'm going to give you a gift. But it's really not for you. It's going to be for your friends. Well, why are you giving it to me? I mean, why don't you just give me a gift? No. And then what's going to happen is as you receive the gift and you begin to give it to your friends and the people around you, fulfillment happens in you and fulfillment happens in them because the gift's being used properly. Your enjoyment and fulfillment comes when you share your gift with others. That's what happens when we come to Christ and God puts in us spiritual gifts. And you begin to find out what those gifts are. You begin to use those gifts in this context called the body of Christ. And then what happens is I come in here on Sunday. I've been seeking I've been seeking God's face. I've been seeking his heart. God, what do you want me to share with your people today? And I come in here and I use my gift to share with you. You know what happens? I leave here more blessed than you do. Because I get fulfilled watching you get fulfilled from God's word. You see, spiritual gifts and the use of them is the way we help to show others Jesus on the earth. It's the way and the method God uses to do ministry in the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts. And spiritual gifts are the reason that the church has grown through 2,000 plus years. And it's the reason that the church will go on forever and ever and ever because God is still pouring out gifts on his people. So if you ever hear, I've heard this, there are denominations and groups of people, believers, that say that the giving of spiritual gifts ceased with the dying of the last apostles. Stay away from those people. And if you're watching today and that is your belief, well, I'm sorry, but listen what I'm telling you. There's way more to a relationship with Jesus than just going to a building called a church and hearing a man speak from a pulpit who claims to have heard the word of God through the Spirit of God. Because if he don't believe in the gifts of God, then he ain't speaking from the Spirit of God. Turn in your Bible, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Peter, speaking to the church, this is what he says. Each of you, members of the church, each of you, body of Christ, each of you, people who call yourselves in Christ, should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Here in 1 Peter 4:10, he says, each of us have received some gift from God. Each of us. So I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you're gifted. Now, back up here. Quit playing. When you give the students too much, you know. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others. Listen, the problem is we usually think that our personality and the things that we're good at are somehow our gifting. You know, prior to me coming to Christ, I'd never spoken publicly in my life. I owned an insurance agency. I was a cop. I didn't speak publicly. I dealt with people one-on-one, but I always liked people. And all of a sudden, God began to use not things that I was naturally good at, but things that he said, I'm going to implant this in you. So I took a spiritual gift survey 20 years ago, or a little over 20 years ago, and in my spiritual gift survey, brand new believer, God said, in the survey, it said that I was called to be an evangelist. That's a mouthpiece for God on the earth, to go around and tell people about Jesus. So you know what I began to do? Tell people about Jesus. You know what he began to do? Give me more gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says, just as a body, human body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Listen, in Christ, we have spiritual gifts. We bring our spiritual gifts together to form this one body, the body of Christ, the church, right? Listen, I want you to know a church cannot function properly unless all the gifts are in the body working together. Everybody, anybody know what a thyroid is? Y'all have one. It's right here, I think, in your neck, right? Like up in here. Yeah. Okay, so it's a little bitty 2-inch piece of flesh. And if you took it out, you would say, that looks pretty insignificant. What could that possibly do? Just go ahead and take it out. It's useless, right? Now, if you took that out, what would happen is your body's ability to metabolize calories and fat would go away, and you would just become just enormous. One problem. Secondly, you would be a basket case emotionally because it also controls your emotions. So you think, this little piece of flesh, insignificant as it seems, would actually do all those things. Yes, and many other things as well, but those two very significant things. You need a thyroid, and you need it to work properly. Ask any woman in this place that has had thyroid problems. They put them on thyroid medication, right, so that the thyroid functions like it should, so that they can burn fat and so that they can be emotionally adjusted. Somewhat, anyway. They're still women. I'm just kidding. Ooh, that was probably not the wisest statement in the world. I take that back. I'm just kidding. No, listen, we're just different. You're just different than us. I meant that in a real loving way. Right, let's move on. So I told you, like, so that's insignificant. Well, I told this story before. My friend, when I was about, I think in the fifth grade, my friend was cutting his grass one summer, and he's pulling the lawnmower backward like this, like a dummy. And he tripped and pulled the mower over his foot and cut off his big toe. Now you think, it's only a big toe. At that point, he's 10. I mean, was it that big? You know, he had to learn to walk. He had to learn to balance again because that big toe controls balance, and it controlled his ability to stand and walk. I was like, it's a little toe, my God. But we have no idea. So listen, what I'm saying is we may think our gifts are insignificant within the body, but listen to what I'm telling you. Every gift matters. Every gift matters. And unless they're all functioning, the body doesn't work properly. I want to give you 4 spiritual truths this morning about spiritual gifts. And that fact that you are gifted by God. Say it when they say, I'm gifted by God. All right, good. Now you got that. Listen, number one on your handout, your gifting reveals your calling. How many of you know how God has called you? Only very few of you. So I want you to kind of get this. If you don't know how God has called you, then you may not know your spiritual gifting. Because if you knew your spiritual gifting, you'd know how God has called you. So, see Pastor Peggy right after church. Look, 1 Peter 4:10, what did he say? Each of you should use whatever gift you have received. Romans 12:4 says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, right? Does my pointer finger and my heart do the same thing? Of course not. They each have a part of the body. They don't have the same function, so in Christ, though we are many, we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Look at verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, then do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Listen, some scholars say that there are about 31 spiritual gifts listed in Scripture. Some say there's only 9. Whether you believe that there are 9 or there are 30, I want to list some that I found in Scripture and share them with you this morning. In Romans chapter, you can just write this down. You can go back and look later. In Romans chapter 12, here are some of the gifts listed: exhortation or encouragement, giving, leadership, mercy, prophecy, service, and teaching. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, here are gifts listed: administration, apostleship, discernment, faith, healings, helps, knowledge, miracles, prophecy, teaching, tongues, interpretation, and wisdom. In Ephesians chapter 4, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. They call that the fivefold ministry, right? in some miscellaneous passages. Now, these are the ones nobody wants to claim. There's celibacy. Like, I bet the line for celibacy will get long right outside. Hospitality. Now, we know, like, Martha, Nick's wife, is the hospitality queen. She just is, it's her gifting. It's the way God has gifted her to serve the body. She is Miss Hospitable, right? And then there's martyrdom. The martyrdom line will be as long as the celibacy line. And then there's the missionary line. You know, listen, how many of you believe you're called to be a missionary? When I first got saved, I was hoping God would call me to be a foreign missionary. Honey, we're moving to South America. She's like, no, we're not. Oh, we're moving to Alaska. We're definitely not, you know. And then I went on a couple of mission trips and realized I like the luxuries of America. I like going to third world countries. I like preaching and leaving because the food is really rough. The accommodation's rougher. I stayed in a hotel. This is no lie. In a little town in the Andes Mountains of Peru. We're about 10,000 feet altitude. And even in the summer, it's winter. It's cold. It's like in the 40s, mid-40s, low-50s. I'm freezing. But once you get beyond 70, below 70, I'm freezing. And so I got coats and gloves and hats. And these people walking around in shorts, you know. And the sleeping arrangements were so rough, and there was no heat in the room. I had blankets this thick up to my ears. I had a beanie on. I was freezing. So I realized I'm not called to be a missionary. I'm called to be a pastor right here in the U.S. of A. And then here's going to be the next line that's going to be really long outside is the line for voluntary poverty. Yes, God, please make me poor. So those are some gifts that we're not really sure about. But as you can see, lots of gifts, right? Lots of different functions in each one. I want you to know, as important as your big toe, as important as your thyroid. When I told you the story about me being a kid, my friend cutting off the tail. Listen, important. I want you to know, the thing is, whatever gift you have, use that gift. But don't have gift envy. Many times, I wish I had her gift. I wish I could sing like Carla. Carla's just gifted to do that. But that's not her spiritual gift. I want you to understand, singing's not a spiritual gift. It's a gift. Absolutely, it's a gift. And she will use that to worship the Lord, right? But that's not her. She's gifted in all kinds of other ways. Powerful woman of God. Operate in your gifting. And be thankful for your gifting. And then you know what happens? God says, be faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of more things. I'll give you more. So I started out with the gift of evangelism. And then through the years, my gifting began to change to pastor, to teacher, to preacher, right? And now to apostleship. So those things are changing as I've grown and prospered with the Lord. So listen, wherever you are doesn't mean you're staying there. It just means that's what you are right now. And use that to serve the body. Your gifting is a revealer of your calling. Number two, you are gifted. Here's number two. You're gifted to serve others. Like I told you, your gift is not for you. You know, when you have a spiritual gift and you keep it for yourself, we call that spiritual constipation. I know that's an ugly word, but think about it. In the natural, it's not good for things to go in and not come out. And spiritually, it's worse. God doesn't put things in you for you to just build up. Look at my supply of gifts. Look, I got the gift of this and the gift of that and the gift of this. No. Your gifts are there so you can minister to other people. He said, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to do what? Serve others. You see, your fulfillment and your satisfaction comes when you use what God has given you to serve somebody else. Like I told Ryan, I'm going to give you a gift, but it's not for you. Well, gee, would you give it to somebody else, you know? No, listen, I'm going to give you a gift. And when you begin to use the gifts that God has given you to serve others and you see the fulfillment in their faces, you leave fulfilled. And God gets the glory. Yes. You know, I went to church for 35 years. And the church I was in, I believe, had this idea that all the gifts relied on one human being in the church. One guy. I'm like, golly, dude, I don't know what's happening up in that body, right? And the problem is, I would leave that church every Sunday unfulfilled because the gifts were not operating within the church. And so, therefore, we all left as empty as we came in. I told you the vision God gave me years ago was a grocery store, but there were plexiglass all over the shelves. And you could see all the products you needed, but you couldn't touch them. You were like, man, I really need this bag of flour, but I can't get to it. I really need this, but I can't. I need this healing, but I can't get to it because it's behind a piece of glass. And it looks good. And there are churches here in this parish. This is what I'm telling you right now. There are churches that believe. They say they believe in the gifts, but they don't want them operating in their churches. We don't want none of that up in here. I know. I went to a seminary that said, oh, we believe in the gifts, but it ain't happening in our churches. Can I have a question? I raised my hand from the back of the room. I said, well, it says that tongues is therefore a sign for unbelievers. He didn't answer the question. I looked at the guy sitting next to me. I said, did I ask that question out loud? He said, I heard you and everybody else did. I said, well, the guy in the front didn't even acknowledge. He says, and I don't think he will. And he kept on going. Because they don't want to talk about it. See, some churches call those scriptures that I just mentioned to you about spiritual gifts, they call that Passover scripture. We get to that section, we pass over. Because we're unfamiliar and we're unsure about what it means in the context called the body of Christ today. And so there, we're scared of it and we don't want that happening in our churches. People might leave. Yes, they'll come. Because they're going to get what they need. You understand? When you come to a place and you get healed. When you come to a place and you get healed. And you come to a place and a word of faith is spoken over you. And you're set free. And your addictions are broken. And chains fall off. And you walk out chained. You go, I'm going back there next week. Say this with me. Say, my gift is for others. Number three, you are the manager of the gift. See, you don't even own the gift. It's not yours to own. He put his gift in you. And you're the manager. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Here it is, as faithful stewards. The word steward just means manager. As a great reminder that the gifts we have don't belong to us, but instead they belong to God, and he uses us as the vessel to bring the gift to the earth. There's a great parable that Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 25, and it's kind of long, but I want to share it with you because it's important today in this context. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, Jesus had been talking about the kingdom of heaven and what it's like, is what he says. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants, his children, right? And he entrusted them with his wealth, his talents, his gifts, okay? So one, he gave 5 bags of gold or 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who received the 5 bags of gold went at once, put his money to work, and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the one who had received 1 bag went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The one who received the 5 bags of gold brought the other 5, said, Master, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained you 5 more. He said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with the 2 bags did the same thing. Here's my other 2. You gave me 2. Here's 2 more. He said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who received the 1 bag of gold came and said, Master, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold, hid your talent, hid your gift in the ground. I got a gift and I didn't use it to work in the body of Christ. I got a gift and I held on to it because it made me happy. I held on to it because I was happy I had a gift and I just kept it for myself. And the master said, take the bag of gold. Take the gift from him and give it to the man who has 10. For everyone who has will be given more. In other words, for those who use them properly, I'm going to give you more. But for those of you who don't use what I've given you properly, I'm going to take from you and give it to the one who has more. Listen, we must be willing to let the gift multiply by using it as God directs us. We're not giving gifts to hoard or to hide. We're giving gifts that we are to manage properly so that when Jesus, because one day, he's going to come settle accounts. What did you do with what I gave you? I sat on the pew, showed up at church a couple times a year. They call me on earth, Jesus, a CEO. I go at Christmas and Easter only. You'll get that later. And Jesus is going to say, but I put you in this thing called my body. The church, the body of Christ, it is the hope of the world. It's what I left behind. It's what I'm coming to get. And I put you there to be a part. I put you there to minister. I put you there to do some things. What'd you do? I hid your stuff in the ground. Here you go. I wouldn't want to be there that day. Say I'm a manager of the gift. And number four, your life is a living display for the gifts of the Spirit. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, now to each one of you, each member of the body of Christ, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. He tells us that we have gifts that will manifest themselves. The word manifestation means to embody the essence of something physically so as to be seen by others. The word manifestation in the Greek is the word phanerosis, and it means an exhibition, an expression of something. In this case, it's the expression of the Spirit of Almighty God living in us and working through us. Each of us is gifted by God so that we can show Jesus to the world around us. Listen, again, spiritual gifts are not yours, but they're there for you to steward and manage so that we can see Jesus on the earth. If you're a follower of Jesus, you know, you may be the only Jesus that the people around you that you come in contact with during the week may ever see. And how you display and manage the gifts that God's given you could determine whether or not that person comes to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. Imagine this with me. You pray a prayer of faith over somebody at work that's going through a tough time, and and what you prayed for happens. That's a witness. That's a manifestation of the Spirit on the earth. When you prophesy to a coworker about something God told you to say to them and they see it happen in their lives, it's a witness. When you obediently share the good news with a friend who needs Jesus and they get saved, you just became a witness on the earth. Listen, because you carry in you the physical manifestation of the Spirit of God known as spiritual gifts. And when you display them to the people around you, you are a living display of Jesus on the move in the life of his children. Your life is a living display of Jesus on the earth. You're gifted by God. Your gifting reveals your calling. You're gifted to serve others. You're the manager of the gift, and your life is a living display for the gifts. In your gifting by God, you'll walk in your calling. You'll serve others, manage your gifts, and live to display Jesus to the world. Listen, if you know your gift and you know the gift giver, I want you to just raise your hand. I know the gift and I know the gift giver. Those of you who don't yet know your gift, but know the gift giver, I want you to know you have a gift. You just don't know it yet. So see Pastor Peggy. I'm not kidding you. See Pastor Peggy after church. And get in that Get Empowered class. I promise you, we're going to help you discover your spiritual gifts, and we're going to help you develop your spiritual gifts so that you can be all that God has called you to be and be a part of this thing called the body of Christ. Here's how we're going to end service today. We're going to take communion together. We're, in essence, saying, God, we realize that you are with us and we are with you 100%. Would you stand with me? If you have communion, would you open up the little cellophane top and remove the wafer if you can? I'm having a little trouble. There we go. Now, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. He said, whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again. We're proclaiming, listen to me, we're proclaiming to the feelings of insignificance and the feelings of being undervalued that we are gifted by God. We're gifted by God because we matter and we are vital. Say it with me. Say, I'm vital. You're vital to the church because of your affiliation with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Today we're proclaiming that those feelings are no longer valid over our lives, and we have to hold on to Jesus. Today we're saying, God, I am in communion with you, and you're in communion with me, and we together are one. Isaiah said, he, Jesus, took up our infirmities. He carried our sorrows. We considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. This bread represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, by his stripes, we are healed. You're healed emotionally. You're healed physically, and you're healed spiritually. Today, we receive your body, Jesus, and we thank you that you allowed it to be broken and beaten for us so that we could be made whole in Jesus' name. You can open the juice carefully. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption. Redemption is the payment through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. His perfect, spotless, sinless blood was spilled so that we could be free forever from the effects of our sin on the earth. Listen to me, folks, once and for all. This juice represents the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Today we receive it and we're reminded of the freedom we have in Christ, that he no longer holds our sins against us in Jesus' name. Now, Heavenly Father, as we prepare to go, my prayer for these people is, God, they'll begin to see themselves as you have said. They are chosen and they are gifted. I pray they begin to use their gifting within the body of Christ and in the world around them so that the world may know that Jesus still lives on the earth and he lives through people just like you and just like me. I thank you, Lord, for all the folks in this place. I ask you to bless them as they go. May you touch their every need and meet them right where they are in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. May God bless you, keep you, let his face shine down upon you, give you his peace. Have a great day.